말해 미분하에 말해 너마다 가는 나의 사랑
저게 나의 자네 미분하에 말해 너마다 가는 나의 사랑
Madhyalila, Chapter 13. I offer my humble obeisances at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, whose elongated arms reach down to their knees. Their complexion is as brilliant as molten gold. They inaugurated the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. They have exquisite elongated lotus petal eyes. They are the maintainers of the entire universe, the topmost Brahmins, protectors of the religious principles of the age, the well-wisher of every living entity, and the embodiment of mercy and magnanimity. All glories to Lord Gaurasundar. All glories to Lord Nityananda, who is served by everyone. Lord Chaitanya is always performing his pastimes in Navadvip, but they are not visible to every eye. Ordinary people see him as before as Nimai Pandit. Nothing more is perceivable to them about the Lord's activities or character. The Lord reveals himself to the fortunate devotees according to their realizations in devotional service. He hides himself to the outside world of materialists. One day, the Lord suddenly expressed a certain feeling to Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. Listen, Nityananda and Haridas. Travel everywhere and tell people about my teachings. Go to every house and beg everyone of this. Chant Krishna's name, worship him, and cultivate the science of Krishna consciousness. Just repeat this only and make them chant only Krishna's name, and at the end of the day, come and give me your reports. Those who do not comply to your requests, I will come personally and cut them with my Sudarshan chakra. The Vaishnavas were very amused to hear the Lord's orders, and there was no question of anyone trying to change any of it. Considering that Lord Nityananda has accepted these orders with utmost respect, anyone who disregards them is demented. If someone is only serving Advaita Acharya but does not worship Lord Chaitanya, he will be destroyed by Advaita Acharya himself. Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur were on their way in a blissful mood, with Lord Chaitanya's order as their prime inspiration. They visited every house, going all over Nadia and requesting all, chant the holy names of Krishna and worship him. He is everyone's shelter, friend, and most treasured wealth. Practice Krishna consciousness with undivided intent. Wearing robes of renunciates, they approached the householders. Many invited them for food, but they only replied, "I only beg of you to chant Krishna, worship him, and cultivate devotional service." This is all they repeated and went their way. The pious received their instructions well with faith, being also impressed by their effulgent figures, and replied happily to them, expressing their pleasure. "I will do, I will do." Someone else said, "You too have mental aberrations due to wrong advice from others. You have become mad because of bad company. Why have you come to infect us with your madness? Good and healthy persons have gone mad because of Nimai Pandit's bad influence." Those who were disallowed entry into Srivas Pandit's house during Kirtan to see Lord Chaitanya dance would react insolently to this saintly pair. They shouted, "Beat them, beat them." Still others said, "Maybe these two are informers of dacoits. Under the present pretext and garb, they are collecting information. Why should saintly men act in this manner? If they come this way again, I will hand them over to the law." These comments only amused Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. They did not feel hurt or daunted. They simply continued to preach every day Lord Chaitanya's message, and on returning described everything to Lord Chaitanya. One day they came across two drunkards, totally intoxicated, giant in size and looking like the worst kind of pirates. Their tales of wicked acts are unending, and there is not a sin that they have not committed. Although born in a Brahmin family, they consume beef and liquor. rob, steal, and burn other houses. They disobey the court injunctions against them and always avoid appearing before the officers of the law, all day engaged in their wicked activities. These two drunkards rolled on the public streets, and when one caught the other unawares, he pounded him with his fists. People watched this fun, always keeping a distance. Just then, Nityananda and Haridas arrived there. The two drunkards sometimes embraced each other affectionately, and the next moment they would pull each other's hair. They used the most filthy and abusive language on each other. They ran the good name of the Brahmin class in Navadvip to the ground. Intoxication can ruin anyone's life and character. Although they had committed every conceivable sin, they were still free from the offenses against Vaishnavas. They were just always intoxicated and had no opportunity to criticize Vaishnavas. Such company, where Vaishnavas are offended, may consist of highly pious persons. Still, all their mercy is depleted. If Vaishnavas are offended even by an assembly of renunciates, sannyasis, such an assembly is more irreligious than a group of drunkards. For the drunks, there is still a chance for salvation, but for those who are critical of Vaishnavas, there is no hope for liberation. In spite of studying the scriptures, a person may not become purified, and if such a person criticizes Lord Nityananda, then he is doomed. The two drunkards were still very much intoxicated as Nityananda and Haridas saw them from a distance. Nityananda turned to one of the crowd in the street and asked, "Who are these two men? Why do they act like this?" They replied, "Gosai, they are Brahmins of very good and noble parents, very good and aristocratic family. Their family dates back many generations in Navadvip. Their family has a spotless reputation. These two are the black sheep of their family, and from the beginning, they are engaged in all sorts of sinful activities. Their family and society ostracize them, seeing their character, and from that time, they live independently as outcasts in the company of other drunkards. All the residents of Navadvip are terrorized by them. They fear that any one of them could be the next target of their arson and looting. Everyone knows that they are capable of anything and everything." When Lord Nityananda heard these facts about the two scoundrels, his heart melted. He immediately felt great compassion for them and began to consider how he could save them. He thought, "Lord Chaitanya incarnated only to liberate and save the most fallen souls. Who is more degraded than these two? The Lord has appeared, hiding his real identity. The ordinary folks are unaware of this, and they foolishly deride him. If my Lord is merciful to these two and saves them, then the entire world will acknowledge his supreme potency. I, Nityananda, can prove to be a real servant of Lord Chaitanya only when I persuade my Lord to awaken in these two their original Krishna consciousness. They are so intoxicated now that they are oblivious of everything, even themselves. If they could become similarly engrossed in the chanting of the names of Krishna, if they could cry my Lord's name, then my preaching and traveling is successful. People now have to bathe in the Ganga if even the shadow of these sinners as much as falls on them. But if they could be purified by Lord Chaitanya, then when people saw them, they would feel as clean as though they had already taken a bath in the Ganga. Then only can I become worthy of my true name. Lord Nityananda's glory and mercy is unfathomable. He has advented only to save the most fallen souls. After thinking to himself, he expressed to Haridas Thakur, "How rotten they are. Although born in a Brahmin family, they are so debauched that there is no way they can escape the worst kind of hellish punishment. The Muslim guards who had whipped you almost to death were forgiven by you. So now in the case of these two, if you are compassionate to them, then instantly they can be saved. The Lord will certainly hear you if you plead on their behalf. The Lord himself has said that he cannot refuse you, Haridas. Let the whole world see the magnanimity of our Lord, that he is the savior of even these two. Just as the Bhagavatam sings about the liberation of Ajamil, let all three worlds witness something just as unique." Haridas Thakur is all too familiar with Nityananda's nature, so he considered that these two sinners are as good as saved. Haridas said, "Listen, my Lord, your desire is certainly also the Lord's desire. You deceive me by saying I can speak to the Lord because I am an animal and I need to be deceived. You are doing this repeatedly, only to teach me of my lowly position. Smiling benignly, Lord Nityananda embraced him and spoke softly to him. Let us repeat to these two drunkards the Lord's message for which purpose we are roaming the streets. The Lord has instructed everyone to chant Krishna's name, and especially the most degraded persons. Our duty is to simply repeat. The rest is depending on the Lord whether they follow or not. Once decided, they now walked together to the two dacoits. The pious and saintly persons alike tried to dissuade Nityananda and Haridas. Do not venture near them. If they catch you, you might even lose your life. We live in fear of these two. How do you muster up the courage to go to them? You cannot expect them to understand the holy position of a sannyasi. These two murder Brahmins and slaughter cows. Yet, undeterred and joyous, both continued walking towards the sinners, chanting Krishna's name. They came close enough for them to hear Lord Chaitanya's message. They called out, "Chant Krishna's name, worship him, for the Lord is dear to you as mother and father. He is the most wonderful treasure of the heart. He has appeared in his incarnation only for your sake. So give up all your sinful activities and surrender to such a merciful Lord." Hearing voices, the two drunks lifted their heads, their eyes bloodshot with rage. Seeing that the voices belonged to sannyasis, they cried out in anger, catch them," and prepared to grab them. Haridas and Nityananda hastily retreated, being chased by the two yelling dacoits. Their cries were nasty, and the two sannyasis were afraid of them. People started saying, "We had warned them from before, but they did not heed it, and so now they are put into a fearful situation." The atheistic persons derived pleasure out of this inside themselves and maliciously thought, "These charlatans have been properly punished by Lord Narayan." The pious Brahmin lot cried out, "O Lord Krishna, save them, save them." And they all fled the place in fear. The two rogues were now chasing the two saints, and although they cried out, catch them," they were still not near them. Nityananda said, "My dear Vaishnav Haridas, we have got ourselves into a good mess. We can call ourselves lucky if we come out of this alive." Thakur Haridas replied, "O Lord, what is the use of talking? Acting on your advice, we now face unnatural or violent death. Because you have given instructions on the holy name of Krishna to these two faithless dacoits, we are earning our due reaction and punishment." Speaking in this manner, Lord Nityananda continued to run, laughing gleefully, while the two rogues chased them, hurling loud abuses. Their bodies were ugly and fat, so movement was difficult, yet they ran after the two. The two thieves said, "O brothers, where do you think you can go? How will you escape Jagai and Madai today? You have misjudged us." These words further spurred them on, and they kept chanting, save us Krishna, O Govinda." Haridas said to Nityananda, "Lord Krishna saved me some time back from the cruel hands of my Muslim tormentors, but today, due to my companion's restless nature and lack of mature intelligence, I am about to face my final end." Lord Nityananda replied, "You are incorrect. This restlessness is not my real nature. It is manifesting in this manner due to your master, Lord Chaitanya's spiritual ecstasies. Although he is a Brahmin, he is relaying orders like some king. And by his orders, we go from door to door, although I never heard anyone else give such orders. In the process of executing his order, our only remuneration is the harsh, abusive words and false accusations by the people. If we do not carry out his orders, then we are finished. And if we do, then this present dilemma is our result. As for blaming someone for all this, you single me out. But in fact, your master has also a share in it." The two carried on their verbal mock fight with each other with great pleasure, still being chased by the two drunken rogues. Running, they went in the direction of Srivas Pandit's house, and the two rogues were left behind to run around in circles, confused by intoxication. The two rogues were confounded, looking in all directions. They had no idea where the two saints had gone. They just gave up the chase and went about shuffling. Nityananda and Haridas, after a little rest, turned back to check if the rogues were still chasing them. They got up, embraced each other, and laughing, went to see Lord Chaitanya. They found Lord Chaitanya sitting amidst all the Vaishnavas. His exquisite beauty flowed from every part of his transcendental form. His eyes were like two fully blossomed lotuses. His beauty caused Madan, the god of love, to swoon. They were discussing Krishna-conscious topics in the assembly, and sometimes the Lord would reveal the transcendental truth about himself. It was as if the Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayan, sat to discourse with Sanak and other great sages. Nityananda and Haridas narrated their day's experience to the assembly. A strange incident occurred. We came across two rogues totally intoxicated. We were told that they were from Brahmin families. We thought of doing them a good turn and requested them to chant Krishna's holy name, but they reacted violently and chased us. We could barely escape with our lives. Lord Chaitanya said, "What persons are these? What are their names? Being Brahmins, why do they act in this coarse manner?" Srivas and Gangadas were sitting close to the Lord, and they said, "My Lord, these two persons are Jagai and Madai. Their father is a pious Brahmin, but bad company has spoiled these two. Now they know only intoxication. Their names instill fear in the hearts of the people, and they live by stealing, looting, and violence. It is impossible to describe how fallen they are, but you see everything and know everything, my Lord." Lord Chaitanya said, "I will show these two rogues. I will cut them to pieces if they come in front of me." Lord Nityananda said, "You may cut them to pieces, but then I will not stay here. And if they are not alive, I will not be able to carry out your mission. Why are you getting so angry with them? Allow me first to make them chant Lord Krishna's name. The pious will naturally chant Krishna's name, but these two know only irreligious activities. If you deliver them and bring them into devotional service, then your fame as Patita Pavana, or deliverer of the fallen, will remain intact. Your fame as Patita Pavana had increased when you saved me, but that fame will reach unlimited bounds if you deliver these two." Laughing, Lord Vishvambar said, "They are already liberated. As soon as those two rogues saw you, they were delivered. You are so concerned about their welfare. Krishna will very soon take full care of them." The devotees broke out in jubilant shouts of Hari, Hari, when they heard Lord Chaitanya's words. They were convinced that the sinners were already saved. Haridas spoke to Advaitacharya, "The Lord has sent me out with an extremely restless person. If I go in one direction, he will find another. He will jump into the crocodile-infested swelling monsoon waters of the Ganga and try to catch the crocodiles. I stand on the banks shouting for him to return. He ignores everything and floats downstream like a dead man. And if he sees a young boy on the banks, he gets up and goes shouting angrily after the boy. Soon the boy's irate parents arrive with sticks, who I have to plead and beg with before sending them away. He steals butter and cream from the milkman and runs away, and I get caught, and they want to beat me up. He is always doing the sort of activities which are incorrigible and beyond all logic. If he comes across a young maiden, he asks her to marry him. He sits on a bull shouting, 'Mahesh!' And if he sees a cow, he milks her and drinks the milk. When I try to advise him on his activities, he mocks you, saying, 'What can that Advaita of yours do to me? And that person who you call Chaitanya, what can he do to me?' I repeat nothing of all this to Lord Chaitanya. Today I was saved only by the Lord's grace. These two rogues were lying in the street in a stupor, and he goes to them and tries to preach to them about Krishna. They were enraged and charged at us, and we were saved from death today only by your mercy." Very much amused, Advaita said, "That is nothing special for him. An intoxicated person should join other intoxicated persons. He is drunk with love of God, so he should join the other two. And as a renunciate devotee, you have no business in such company. I know Nityananda's character and ability. He will make everyone intoxicated with divine love. Wait another few days. He will bring these two also into the Vaishnava fold." Advaitacharya was suddenly overcome with anger, and he threw away his clothes from his body and started strongly chastising. He said, "I want to hear everything about Chaitanya's devotion to Lord Krishna. how he sings and dances. What is the extent of his potency? Just wait and see. Tomorrow, Nimai and Nitai will bring those two dacoits with them and dance with them here, and have them mingle with all the other Vaishnavs. Let us not run away from here and save our castes. Haridas laughed at Advaitacharya's angry mood and was relieved and assured that the two dacoits would be saved. Who is able to really fathom the inner meaning of Advaita's words? Only personalities like Haridas Thakur can understand, since he is of that spiritual caliber. Many who misunderstood the real position of Advaita in relation to the other associates of the Lord and the Lord himself criticized Gadadhar Pandit for acting on the Lord's desire. They invite their own doom. Any person who sides with a Vaishnav against another Vaishnav and criticizes him is destined to be destroyed. The two dacoits were as usual going to different places of the town, and by some divine arrangement came and set up their den on the banks of the Ganga, a bathing place frequented by Lord Chaitanya, and went about their business of terrorizing the people. The entire neighborhood was in the grips of terror. After dusk, no one ventured to go to the Ganga for their evening ablution, and if at all, then only in large groups. They spent their nights close to the Lord's house. Every night they heard the Lord's kirtan, staying up whole nights when they heard the sweet kirtan accompanied by mridanga and cymbals. They danced a drunken jig to the sound of the kirtan, greatly amused at themselves. The kirtan and their dancing increased their appetite for more wine. At times, listening to the kirtan, at other times getting up to dance. All this went on in a state of drunken stupor. They were totally drowned in intoxication, oblivious of time and place. When they accidentally met the Lord, then they remarked to him, "O Nimai Pandit, it is nice that you sing. I want to see how you sing the Mangala Chandi, verses in glorification of Durga Devi, every night. I will bring all the paraphernalia for the Chandi Kirtan." Lord Chaitanya kept a distance from them, seeing their drunken state. But others went a different way altogether to escape these rogues. One day, Lord Nityananda was returning to Lord Chaitanya's house in the evening after moving about town the whole day. The two rogues went and halted him. Jagai and Madai shouted out, "Who is it?" Nityananda replied, "I am going to Nimai Pandit's house." In an intoxicated stupor, they commanded, "What is your name?" Lord Nityananda replied, "My name is Avadhuta." Lord Nityananda, lost in the mood of a young boy, began to converse with the two dacoits performing his leela. He had already made up his mind that he will deliver them, and so he had purposely chosen this time to come this way. When Madhai heard the name Avadhuta, he picked up a piece of broken earthen wine pot, and seething with rage, he threw it at Nityananda. The stone struck Nityananda on the forehead, and it started bleeding. Lord Nityananda quietly meditated on Govinda, Krishna. Jagai was deeply shocked to see blood dripping from Lord Nityananda's forehead. When Madhai once again raised his arms to strike Nityananda, Jagai caught his hands. He said, "Why did you do such a heartless, brutish thing? What can you gain by striking this foreigner? This Avadhuta is innocent. Do not hit him again. He is a renunciate. Hitting him will not benefit you." People went running to Lord Chaitanya and informed him of the incident. The Lord immediately collected a large army of his disciples and arrived at the spot. Lord Nityananda was still amidst the two, blood dripping all over his body, but he was smiling. When Lord Chaitanya saw blood on his beloved Nityananda, he went into a fit of wrath and cried out, "Chakra, Chakra," calling for his most devastating weapon, the Sudarshan disc. The chakra immediately appeared, looming ominously before the very eyes of Jagai and Madai. The devotees became very fearful, and Nityananda quickly went to Lord Chaitanya, begging him, "When Madai was about to hit me, Jagai tried to check him, but accidentally I was hit, and although you see blood on me, I do not feel any pain. Please be calm, my lord. I have no pain. I beg of you to spare them and give them to me." When the words about Jagai penetrated Lord Chaitanya's hearing, he became very pleased, and he went up to Jagai and embraced him. He said to Jagai, "May Lord Krishna bless you. You have won me over by protecting Nityananda. You can ask for anything you desire. I shall grant you the boon. And from today, may you be firmly situated in pure devotional life, experiencing love of Godhead. The Vaishnavas became joyous, appreciating Lord Chaitanya's blessings on Jagai with loud cries. And when Jagai heard Lord Chaitanya's blessing, he fell unconscious with ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya said, "Jagai, rise up and see. I have blessed you with love of Godhead." Jagai then saw Lord Chaitanya in his four-handed manifestation holding the conch disc lotus. The Lord placed his lotus feet on Jagai's chest. Jagai knew that the lotus feet now on his chest sustained Lakshmi Devi's life, and so he caught them tightly as his most treasured object and wept like a child purified of his sins. Lord Chaitanya is always performing such wondrous pastimes. The same soul resides in both Jagai and Madai. While Jagai was praying to Lord Chaitanya, Madai was already being transformed within. Overlooking the presence of Lord Nityananda, Madai quickly got up and threw himself like a stick before Lord Chaitanya, and catching hold of his lotus feet, he prayed, "Both of us were sinners, sinning together, in the same place at the same time. Why was your mercy shown to one and not the other, my Lord? Be merciful to me. I shall chant your holy name, for there is no one else who can deliver a wretch like me." Lord Vishvambhar replied, "I cannot deliver you. You were responsible for shedding Nityananda's blood." Madai replied, "You cannot say this, my Lord. How can you act against your own religion? In your previous incarnation, why did you give liberation to those demons who were piercing your body with arrows?" The Lord replied, "Your offense is far greater than those demons, because you have hurt Nityananda, my most beloved associate. I am revealing to you this truth, that Nityananda's body is more dear to me than my own." Madai said, "Since you are already revealing the truth to me, tell me, how can I be saved?" "You are the supreme healer of all diseases. I can be healed of my disease only by your treatment. Please do not deceive me anymore, O Lord of the universe. Your real identity is already known. Who can you hide it from?" Lord Vishvambhar said, "You have committed a grievous offense. Go and fall at Nityananda's feet." Madai threw himself at Nityananda's feet, following Lord Chaitanya's instruction. Lord Nityananda's lotus feet are eternal treasures, and once anyone holds on to them, they will never be forsaken. This fact is well understood by Revati Devi. Lord Vishvambhar said, "Listen, dear Nityananda, he is at your feet. You must show him mercy. As because he was responsible for shedding your blood, only you can forgive him." Lord Nityananda said, "What can I say or do, my Lord? Everything is a transformation of your mercy. If I have acquired any piety due to devotional service to you, then let all my pious results be given to Madai. And as for my offenses, I do not mind them. But you, Lord, should leave aside your deception and unconditionally shower your mercy on Madai." Lord Vishvambhar said, "Now that you have forgiven everything, why not also give Madhai your transcendental embrace?" Receiving Lord Vishvambhar's order, Nityananda firmly embraced Madhai, and Madhai was immediately relieved of all sinful reactions, and his body became surcharged with Lord Nityananda's spiritual powers. Both Jagai and Madhai were now completely purified of all sins, and they began to glorify both their lordships, Gaur Nitai. Lord Chaitanya said, "From now, do not commit any more sinful activities." Jagai and Madai replied, "Never again, my Lord." Lord Chaitanya said again, "Both of you listen carefully. It is an absolute fact that I have delivered you of all your sinful reactions accumulated over many, many births. And if you do not engage further in any sinful activities, I take full responsibility of your sinful lives. I will take your remnant, and my energy will manifest within your bodies." The Lord's promise to these two was like sweet nectar in their ears, and they fell down in a state of blissful trance, hearing his words. All misconceptions and nescience dissipated from their minds, and Jagai and Madai were exhilarated in these moments of spiritual happiness. The Lord perceived this mood and instructed his men accordingly. "Take these two men to my house, and I will perform kirtan with them." I will give them today what is rarely accessible to even Lord Brahma. I will convert these two men to top-class devotees who will become famous all over the world. Those who would cleanse themselves in the holy waters of the Ganga each time they contacted Jagai and Madai previously, I will change their opinions. From now, they will consider that the association of Jagai and Madai is as good as the association of Ganga Devi herself. This was Nityananda's desire. Nityananda's promise can never go in vain. All the Vaishnavas escorted Jagai and Madai into the inner recess of Lord Chaitanya's house. Allowing only the Vaishnavas inside, the Lord closed the doors. Lord Vishvambhar sat down, and Nityananda and Gadadhar sat on either side of him. In front, facing him, sat the exalted Advaita Acharya, and the rest of the devotees sat all around him. They were Pundarik Vidyaniti, Haridas Thakur, Garuda, Ramai, Srinivas, Gangadas, Vakreshwar Pandit, Chandrasekhar, and many other associates of the Lord who know the real nature of the activities of the Lord. They all sat in that assembly with Jagai and Madai. Jagai and Madai were so swayed by the spiritual ecstasy generated in that Vaishnava assembly and the kirtan that they began rolling on the ground, manifesting the symptoms of ecstasy like horripilation, profusion of tears, shivering, etc. Who is able to fathom the unlimited and nectarian pastimes of the Lord that he can convert two rogues into exalted devotees? They were previously atheists and sinners, but now they are like two renounced spiritualists. Whosoever has faith in these activities of the Lord will attain the lotus feet of Krishna, and the worst degradation is reserved for the non-believers. Jagai and Madai offered prayers of praise to the Lord as the Lord and the devotees heard them with happiness. By the will of the Lord, Saraswati Devi, the goddess of learning, appeared on their tongues. Jagai and Madai saw both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda sitting in one place, and they perceived their individual real identity. The prayers they offered were so potent that if one hears them, one immediately develops loving attachment to Krishna. They prayed, "All glory to Lord Vishvambhar, the Lord of Lords. All glory to Lord Nityananda, who is serving Lord Vishvambhar in so many ways. All glory to Lord Chaitanya, who is the preceptor for congregational chanting of the name of Lord Krishna. All glory to Lord Nityananda, who carries out all of Lord Chaitanya's desires. All glory to the son of Jagannath Mishra. All glory to Lord Nityananda, who has taken complete shelter of Lord Chaitanya. All glory to Sachi Devi's son, who is an ocean of mercy, and all glory to Lord Nityananda, the Lord's constant companion. All glory to you, the Lord of my heart, who is born as the son of a king's scholar, and all glory to Lord Nityananda, who is the embodiment of compassion. All glories to the activities of Lord Chaitanya, and all glories to Lord Nityananda, the most exalted Vaishnava. All glories to the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya, who holds the conch, disc, mace, and lotus. All glories to Lord Nityananda, who is non-different from Lord Chaitanya, and is glorious as the Avadhut. All glories to Lord Gaurachandra, the life and soul of Advaita Acharya. All glories to Lord Nityananda, who in his Anantashesh expansion is glorifying the Lord with thousands of mouths. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, Gadadhar Pandit's life force, and the master of Murari. He is the source of all joy to Haridas Thakur and Vasudev. O Lord, you have in all your previous incarnations delivered innumerable sinful persons. These acts are supremely wonderful. The whole world sings hymns praising these pastimes. In fact, by delivering two sinful wretches like us, the glories of your previous activities are somewhat reduced. After all, we are insignificant. The story of Ajamil's deliverance was glorious. We seem puny and small next to that. This I say not in useless praise, but with full conviction. Ajamil was the right candidate for your mercy. The Vedas declare that even a killer of millions of Brahmins can attain liberation immediately upon chanting your holy name. It is not at all surprising that Ajamil attained liberation by chanting your name, because such is the transcendental potency of your holy name. You have incarnated specially to expound the highest truths of the Vedas. The authority of the Vedas would be undermined if sinners like us were not delivered. We were inimical towards you and even struck your beloved Nityananda, yet you delivered us. One can easily judge the unimaginable difference between your magnanimous act and our heinous low performance. As soon as Ajamil uttered Narayan, four messengers of the Lord appeared before him. As for us, when we saw you, we immediately drew blood from your forehead, for which we were able to see your expansion, an expansion of expansions. Your weapon for this incarnation, the Holy Name, and your eternal associates. You had all along kept these wonderful facts a secret, but now these unlimited excellencies have been exposed. Now, by your grace, the essence of the Vedas is more clear, and so Ananta Shesh can freely sing this truth. Now the hidden storehouse of your transcendental qualities has been opened, and the best example of this is that you have saved us out of your causeless mercy. Demons like Kamsa were cruel to you, yet you gave them liberation after killing them. You have so many places which are most confidential, and some of the kings and warriors could see a little of it unraveled when they fought with you at the Swayamvar. Although they could see you face to face, they all met with doom. Those devotees who would clean themselves in the holy waters of the Ganga, if perchance they even stepped on our shadows, now they are touching and mingling with us. O Lord, in every respect, your activities are supramundane, and there is no way to deceive anyone anymore about your transcendental nature. Everyone is well aware of this. When Rajendra, the king of the elephants, prayed to you, you appreciated his faith and surrender, and so you relieved him from his distressful condition and gave liberation to him. Similarly, it was not by accident that you delivered Putana the witch and all the other demons like Agasura, Bakasura, and so on. Upon leaving their bodies, they were immediately transported to transcendence. Who can understand these activities of yours unless they approach this subject through the knowledge of the Vedas? The way you have delivered these two most wretched fallen souls was witnessed by the entire creation. All the wretched sinners you have delivered so far had some kind of qualifications, but we have not a single qualification, and yet you causelessly delivered us because of your unlimited merciful nature. Jagai and Madai finished their prayers with tears of joy streaking down their glowing faces. Such is the transcendental potency of the Lord. The assembled Vaishnavas were astounded, having seen everything that had happened before their very presence, and they clasped their hands in great reverence before the Lord, offering him their prayers. The choicest words that were just spoken by these two men in praising you was possible only by your causeless mercy. Who can understand the nature of your inconceivable potencies? You give your mercy by your own sweet will. The Lord replied, these two are not to be considered as thieves or rogues anymore. From now on, they are my servitors. All of you kindly pray for them that they may never leave my devotional service. Whatever offenses they may have committed against any of you, please forgive them and bless them. Hearing Lord Chaitanya's words, Jagai and Madai threw themselves down at the feet of all the Vaishnava devotees and, catching their feet, begged for mercy. The devotees were moved by their humility and blessed them. Thus, Jagai and Madai became free from all desires to commit further sinful activities. Lord Chaitanya said, rise, rise, O Jagai and Madai. You have nothing to worry anymore. You are now my servitors. Your prayers were all true and are well appreciated. Such mercy and miracles that you have now witnessed and experienced should have been impossible in your present bodies, but it is now made possible only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. This is an absolute fact. All you Vaishnavas present here, please witness that I am taking on myself all the sinful actions of these two souls. To make everyone understand that he was accepting the sinful actions of Jagai and Madai, Lord Chaitanya's body became blackish in complexion. The Lord inquired, why do you all look at me in that manner? How do I look? Advaita Acharya replied, you look like Lord Krishna. Lord Chaitanya began to laugh at Advaita Acharya's words, and all the Vaishnavas became ecstatic and expressed their joy in jubilant sounds. Lord Chaitanya said, begin kirtan. Then this black shroud of sin will lift from my body and enter the bodies of those who criticize the devotees of the Lord. The devotees were happy to hear these words, and they began a loud kirtan. Lord Vishvambhar and Lord Nityananda began to dance, and the Vaishnavas circled around them in joyful abandonment, singing their praise. Advaitacharya also began to dance. Lord Chaitanya had invented on his request, and the world was saved because of him alone. Everyone joined in the ecstatic singing and dancing, keeping time with the clapping of hands. They forgot their awe and reverence for the Lord in their joy, and nobody knows the countless times they bumped into the Lord while dancing. Mother Sachi sat in the inner chambers with her daughter-in-law and saw everything, feeling herself carried away in waves of ecstasy. Everyone was drowned in the flood of happiness of love of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Even Lakshmi Devi is very careful to touch the Lord's body, but now even Jagai and Madai were freely mingling and dancing and touching the Lord. Lord Chaitanya delivered these two while he pushed the fault finders and offenders of the Vaishnavas down to the worst hell. One never advances in spiritual life by finding faults in Vaishnavas. In fact, only sinful reactions are increased, so give up all your fault finding. After dancing, the Lord sat down and all the Vaishnavas sat around him. The Vaishnavas were covered in thick layers of dust, yet they were clean and glowing. The Lord again looked like his original beautiful golden self, and smiling he said, "Do not consider these two persons as being sinners any longer, since I myself have burnt up their sins. My energy has entered them, and I make them act, speak, walk, eat, and when I leave, they will also leave their bodies behind." The conditioned living entity, under the influence of his false ego, begins to accredit himself for all his activities and becomes proud. This is very dangerous. All the activities so far carried out by these two were under the spell of false ego, but now I have stopped all that. From now, they should be counted amongst you as Vaishnavas without discrimination. All of you, please listen attentively. Anyone who gives these two brothers anything to eat with devotion and respect is in fact offering Lord Krishna the most relishable honey. Even a leaf offered with love to them is nectar to Krishna. If anyone ridicules these two in any way, they will be destroyed because of their offensive attitude. The Vaishnavas were pleased to have Jagai and Madai join their fold and offered them obeisances. The Lord said, "Let us all go to the waters of Bhagirathi Ganga." As they came to the river, they jumped inside. Constant chanting of God's holy name has made the devotees young in spirit, and now they played in Janavi, Ganga's waters, like little children. Even the sober, older devotees were acting like the restless youths. This is true because of the influence of devotional service to Lord Krishna. First there was the festivity of kirtan, and now they were all submerged in the festivity of water sports with the Lord. All the barriers of awe and reverence were lowered between the Lord and his devotees, and they played with each other as equals. The Lord splashed water on the devotees, but no one could counter the Lord's attacks. In all the water fights between the Lord and his devotees, the Lord was always the winner, and the devotees flee his ferocious attacks after only a few minutes of feeble resistance. At times, Advaitacharya, Lord Gauranga, and Lord Nityananda were engaged in water sports together. Another time, Srivas, Haridas Thakur, and Mukunda played together. In this way, all the devotees, including Sri Garba, Sadashiva, Murari, Sriman, Purushottama, Mukunda, Sanjay, Budhimanta Khan, Vidyanidhi, Gangadas, Jagadish, Gopinath, Garuda, Sri Ram, Govinda, Sridhar, Krishnananda, Kashishwar, Jagadananda, Govindananda, Sri Sukumbar, etc. took part. It is impossible to write down all the names of the unlimited lists of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. Later, Vedavyas will compile all the names in the Puranas. All the devotees were wholly engrossed in water sports, experiencing the highest spiritual pleasures. Sometimes someone was victorious, and at other times he lost. They all enjoyed playing together with Lord Chaitanya, Gadadhar Nityananda, and Advaitacharya. Once, Lord Nityananda, catching Advaitacharya unawares, splashed water into his eyes. For a while, he could not open his eyes, and so infuriated, he started hurling abuses at Nityananda. He said, "Where did this drunkard come from? He has blinded me." Srivas Pandit has brought this traveling mendicant from somewhere, and he is now moving about as if he is one of us. And that Vishvambar is also associating with him closely, doing so many things secretly with this traveling mendicant. Lord Nityananda replied, "Do you not feel any shame? What is the use of all this argument? After all, you have lost." Lord Chaitanya intervened, saying, "Once is not sufficient. I will accept a win or loss only if it is repeated three times." So once again, Advaita Acharya began to fight with Nityananda Prabhu. It was difficult to discern them due to their physical similarities. In the water, they seemed like one person in two different places. Both played vigorously. Sometimes someone won and again lost in the next fight. Like this, they were both equally matched. But once Nityananda again caught Advaita off guard and he forcefully splashed water into his eyes. Advaita Acharya was hurt and startled and said, "You drunkard, you cannot become a sannyasi just by murdering a Brahmin. You have spent most of your time in the West eating in different people's houses while traveling, and nobody knows anything about your family, your caste, and other such background information. We know nothing about your parentage, your guru. You are simply here eating, sleeping, and moving about, and everyone just calls you Avadhut." Actually, Advaita was eulogizing Lord Nityananda under the pretext of using abusive language. All of Nityananda's followers laughed at the words, along with Nityananda, knowing the real meaning of these words. But Advaita Acharya continued his acting and was livid with rage, and he said, "I will destroy everyone. Then, do not blame me." The devotees laughed at the show of anger. He was revealing the truth under the guise of being angry. His words only sounded like abuses. If someone does not understand the esoteric meaning of such vociferous fights and takes sides glorifying one and condemning the other, he will certainly be annihilated. Only those fortunate souls who have received the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya can understand the esoteric meanings of the words of Vaishnava devotees. Then after a while, the two stalwarts, Nityananda and Advaita, embraced each other. These two lords are always drunk with nectar of love of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, every night after kirtan, Lord Chaitanya went with all his associates to perform water sports in the Ganga. Such pastimes cannot be seen by the ordinary people, but the demigods take great pleasure in witnessing all these sports of the Lord remaining in their hiding places. They got up from the waters and came to the land, chanting Lord Hari's name. The Lord garlanded everyone with prasad flower garlands and applied sandalwood paste on them, bidding them farewell before they went for their meals. He then again offered Jagayan Marai to all the Vaishnavs and gave them his personal garland. These pastimes of the Lord are eternal and continuous. They only appear and disappear as described in the Vedas. The Lord returned home, and after washing his feet, he offered prayers to Tulsi Devi. He sat down to eat, and Mother Sachi brought all the prasadam foodstuffs to his presence. He prayed to all the previous acharyas, offering them prasadam, and then the Lord of the entire cosmic manifestation ate his meal with relish. He cleansed his mouth and went and sat by the door. Mother Sachi looked to her heart's content at the young couple as they sat together. She felt a great ecstasy drowning her body and soul. Who can fully gauge the extent of Mother Sachi Devi's good fortune? Only if Ananta Shesh can explain with his thousands of hoods can one understand this. Even if one utters the name Ai, a short term of Sachi Devi's name, in material consciousness, that word will free him from all sufferings. Sachi Devi even forgot herself as she gazed into her son's beautiful face. At last, Lord Vishvambar got up to go to bed. Then all the demigods who were secretly present there also left. Daily, Brahma and Lord Shiva and other demigods came to serve their Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya. No one can see these personalities without the Lord's grace, and the Lord sometimes allows a few devotees to see and hear about their presence. Some days, when Lord Vishvambar would be sitting, one of these unseen servants would approach him. He said, "Remain where you are." And all the rest of them would immediately again go back into hiding. The number of such unseen visitors are so numerous that there is no need to write the exact figure. The Lord asked his devotees, "Can you not see these heavenly visitors?" The devotees replied with folded hands, "All the three worlds are serving you, my Lord. What power do we possess to see all of them? unless you empower us with a vision to see them. These are the super excellent pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, which are esoteric in nature, and anyone who faithfully hears them attains the highest perfection. One should not doubt the veracity of this statement. The proof of this is that all the prominent demigods, like Lord Brahma and Shiva, were daily visitors to Lord Chaitanya's house. Thus, Lord Chaitanya delivered Jagai and Madai very easily, because he is the life and soul of the universe, the most munificent of all incarnations. And so he will deliver everyone, with the exception of those who are critical of the Vaishnavas and who act against the teachings of the Vedas. If a personality, even of the stature of Lord Shiva, commits an offense against a devotee of the Lord, then according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he soon meets his end. As is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, although I have committed an offense by insulting you, I know that there is no loss or gain for you due to my insult. You are fixed in your determination, but I have committed an offense. Because of this, even though I may be as strong as Lord Shiva, I shall be vanquished without delay due to my offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnav. The scriptures are strong in condemning offenses against the Vaishnavas. Even an erudite scholar is not saved by his spiritual readings, or a person engaged in chanting Lord Krishna's holy name is also not spared punishment if he offends a Vaishnav. The instructions of the Padma Purana, as cited here, when followed strictly, will help one develop love of Godhead. To criticize and find faults in pure devotees of the Lord is the most grievous offense against the holy name. O holy name, how can you bear the criticism against your pure devotees, through whom your glories have been propagated? You can never tolerate criticism against those who have dedicated their lives in propagating the holy name of the Lord. Such offenders are annihilated. Lord Gaurachandra will certainly deliver anyone who hears with faith the deliverance of these two sinners. All glory to Lord Gaurachandra, who is the deliverer of the most fallen and demoniac souls. He is the most magnanimous Lord, an ocean of mercy. He sees only one's devotional qualities and rejects his faults. If anyone can remain alive without rendering devotional service to his lotus feet, he is a great sinner. And only by one's previous pious activities, somehow his life is maintained. But what good is such a life? In spite of my discrepancies, please be merciful to me, so that I may be allowed to always chant your glories. Lord Chaitanya is my spiritual master, and Lord Nityananda is my Lord and Master. And in every birth, I pray that I may become their eternal servitor. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are without beginning and without end, and I am compiling these pastimes to be able to glorify him in any manner that I can. I offer him and his associates my respectful obeisances, and I pray at their lotus feet that all my offenses may be excused. Lord Sri Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are my life and soul. I, Vrindavan Das, offer this song at their lotus feet.